Relationships help to define us. They help us find our place in the world. They maybe even help us establish patterns of behavior. We, or at least I, often say the basic story underlying all of Scripture is love. God's love for us. But love is born in relationships. I don't believe that we can love without being loved, without first knowing what love is. Seminary professor Fred Craddock was vacationing with his wife in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And one morning they were eating breakfast at a little restaurant, hoping to enjoy a quiet family meal. While they were waiting for their food, they noticed this distinguished-looking white-haired gentleman sort of making the rounds of all the tables in the restaurant, shaking hands and greeting everybody. And the professor leaned over and whispered to his wife, "Gosh, I hope he doesn't come to our table." But sure enough, he did. Came over. "Where are you folks from?" he asked. "Oklahoma," they answered. "Well, it's great to have you here in Tennessee. What do you do for a living?" Craddock said, "Well, I teach at the seminary." "Oh, so you teach preachers how to preach. Well, I've got a great story for you." And didn't he pull up a chair and sit down at their table? The professor groaned, thinking to himself, "Great, because what I really need is one more preacher story." The man started his story. He said, "You see that mountain over there," pointing out the window? "Well, not far from the base of that mountain, there was a boy born to an unwed mother. And he had a hard time growing up because every place he went, he was always asked the same question. 'Hey boy, who's your daddy?' Whether he was at school or in the grocery store or the drugstore, people would always ask him that question. 'Who's your daddy?' He would hide at recess and at lunchtime. He avoided going into stores because the question hurt him so much. When he was about 12 years old, a new preacher came to the church. Now, the boy would always go in late and slip out early to avoid hearing that question, 'Who's your daddy?' But one day, the new preacher said the benediction so fast, he got caught, and he had to walk out with the rest of the crowd. Well, just about the time he got to the back door, the new preacher, not knowing anything about him, put his hand on his shoulder and asked him, 'Son, who's your daddy?' And the whole church got quiet. Because they were finally knowing the answer to that question, 'Who's your daddy?' But the new preacher seemed to sense that there was something going on here, and using discernment that only the Holy Spirit could give, what he said to the scared little boy was, "Well, wait a minute. I know who you are. I see the family resemblance. You are a child of God." And with that, he patted the boy on his shoulder and said, "Man, have you got a great inheritance. You go out and you claim it." And with that, the boy smiled for the first time in a long time. And he walked out the door a different person. He was never the same again, because whenever anybody would ask him, "Who's your daddy?" he would say, "I'm a child of God." The distinguished gentleman got up from the table and said to that preacher, "Isn't that a great story?" Well, the professor had to agree it was. Pretty good story. As the man turned to leave, he said, "You know, if that new preacher had not told me I was one of God's children, I would probably never have amounted to anything." And with that, he walked out. The seminary professor and his wife were stunned and called the waitress over. "Do you know who that man was who was just sitting here with us?" She grinned and said, "Of course, everybody knows him. That's Ben Hooper, the former governor of Tennessee." Living into the fullness of who we are created to be starts with knowing God. It starts with relationship. Contrast Ben Hooper's story with that of King Ahaz. Now, Ben grew up strong in his relationship with God. He walked tall in his faith all of his life, whereas Ahaz seemed to have some doubts about his relationship with God. Ahaz should have had every reason to stand confidently in his faith. He followed his father and his grandfather in ascending to the throne of Judah. He is the next monarch in the line of kings descended from David and Solomon. Great battle commanders, treaty makers, larger-than-life national figures. But The nation of Judah in Ahaz's time is on rocky ground. Judah is embroiled in a civil war against Israel, the northern half of a previously whole nation of God's people. Ahaz and his generals are afraid of the army that's marching against them, which is to say he's afraid of his own cousins. God wants to give Ahaz some reassurance. God says, just ask for a sign, but Ahaz refuses. Is it fear or doubt or a lack of self-worth on his part? Has Ahaz forgotten who his daddy is and the promises that accompany that relationship? Well, who can say, because the scriptures don't tell us, but he doesn't seem to trust God enough to do what God instructs him to do. And yet, God, whose love is infinite and infinitely patient, says, I'm going to give you a sign anyway. Even if you hesitate to ask or think you don't deserve it, I'm going to give you a sign you can trust in. God is holding up God's end of the relationship. God is loving Ahaz in spite of his doubts. God is loving enough for both of them. And the sign that God promises to Ahaz is one that will be remembered hundreds of years later, when decades and decades of God's people will have wondered and even doubted about their relationship with God. That sign is the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Into a season of doubt, God shows up once again, keeping the promise, holding the relationship. God loves us in spite of our doubts. God loves us enough to come into our lives in real and tangible ways. Emmanuel, God with us. And the gospel reading for today shows us why Joseph and Mary were the right parents to raise Emmanuel. We don't talk about Joseph very much. He's almost a secondary character in this birth narrative. He's important in moving the plot line forward, but it is Mary who conceives and bears the child. Mary, who is Jesus' actual mother. Joseph almost feels like an afterthought, and yet his choices impact the story of Jesus' birth in profound ways. Joseph and Mary were pledged to one another. That's a binding legal agreement in ancient Jewish terms. And then Joseph learns Mary's pregnant. And what's a righteous man to do? According to the Hebrew scriptures, Joseph should reveal her to the elders and she should be stoned to death. And yet, Joseph makes a different choice. Joseph makes a merciful choice. He will simply divorce her quietly. Certainly be a hard life for her and her child, an embarrassment for her family. Then this messenger from God changes his mind with new information. This child she carries is God's child. And Joseph chooses to go through with the marriage, chooses to give his family name to this child whose father he is not, chooses to save Mary from public disgrace and even death. But I wonder if Joseph would have been able to make those choices if he had not known a relationship with God, if he had not experienced some sense of God's love in his own life or felt the freedom of mercy in his own family. Remember that when we read Joseph's genealogy, we read this long line of men descended from Abraham, but in it there are four particular important women who figure prominently in the story even before Mary's visit from God's messenger. In a world where who's your daddy mattered, women's names and stories were kept and remembered. There was Tamar. Tamar, who in widowhood confronted her father-in-law to seek justice for herself and her unborn children. There was Rahab, the former prostitute who helped Israel conquer Jericho and enter the Promised Land. There was the foreign-born Ruth, who accompanied her mother-in-law Naomi back to Israel and then married Naomi's distant cousin. And there was Bathsheba, the married woman King David fell in love with and contrived to marry. Two foreigners, a widow, a prostitute, women thronged by men in a variety of ways and endangered by the circumstances of a patriarchal society, women who claim a power and a voice for themselves when society would deny them. The women whose stories merit inclusion in Joseph's genealogy tell stories of justice for the disenfranchised, mercy for the outcast, righteousness for the least among God's people, values at the heart of God's law and God's vision for humanity, values rooted in love, born out in relationships. Our documentary film for this second week of Advent is called Girls on the Wall. It traces a creative process implemented in a prison for young women with the help of a drama teacher. The girls begin to write their personal histories, begin to give voice to the angers and the hurts that have led them into this circumstance of incarceration. They begin to find their power. They create characters. They write dialogue. Poetry becomes song. And then they present this musical before family and friends. A theme that comes back time and again in their stories is that of broken relationships. And that brokenness has factored hugely in where they are when this process begins. The film takes us along a journey of several months, and delightfully and hopefully, we see how these young women can change through learning and living into healthy relationships with their past and with one another. It's work that is offered to all of them. Not all of them choose to try it. We see glimpses of the struggle of facing the past, the fear and the vulnerability inherent in speaking their truths. We see the very real joys experienced in breakthroughs, reconciliations, lasting personal growth. We see their empowerment through this process. But it can only happen as they begin to trust each other and their teacher. It can only happen through relationships and experiencing the kind of love that is both merciful and just. It's the kind of love every kid should know, the kind every outcast should have the opportunity to experience. It's the kind of just, merciful love that allowed Joseph to be open to receiving the message from God's angel, open to keeping his promise to marry his betrothed, even when the law might tell him something else. It's the kind of love we are made for. Love that comes to us first from God, and then through Emmanuel, God with us. Dare to believe in the life-giving, life-changing power of love, and the gift of God with us. Amen.